You know, when we talk about this divine increase, one of the things, one scripture that comes to mind is the example that Jesus used. Let's look at the chapter 6 of Luke. And he talked about houses and what kind of foundation they were built on. And at the end of that chapter 6, starting in verse 47, it says, "Whosoever cometh to me," Luke 6, 47, 48, 49, it says, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like." So what did he say? "Heareth my sayings and doeth them, I'll show you to whom he is like." He is like a man which did what? Built an house and did what? He dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. So he didn't just build the house on a rock. He built a he digged down deep and laid a foundation and then built the house on the foundation, which was on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake that house, could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation and built a house upon the earth. Matthew says, built it upon sand, and against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Here's a thought for your consideration. The house that is built on sand looks exactly the same as the house that is built on a rock until the storm comes. So the house that's built on sand looks exactly the same as the house that's built on a rock until some issues come up. And so that's why it's always important that we do what? We build our house upon a foundation, and that foundation should be upon what? The Word of God. So when stuff happens in life, it says it could not shake it. Glory to God. And so, John 10:10, I'm going to read this in the Passion Translation. You know, in the New King James, it says, "The thief cometh what? Not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly." He wants us to increase. Now, when you read it in the Passion Translation, it says, "A thief has only one thing in mind." Say one thing. Not multiple things. He has one thing in mind. It says he wants to steal, slaughter, and to destroy, but I have come to give you everything in abundance. Say everything. Everything. He wants to give us everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow. So that means if we're got some abundance in one area, but we're still working on another, that means we got work to do in our lives, because he said he wants us to have abundance in everything, not just finances, but abundance of health, abundance of peace, abundance of joy. So he wants us to have abundance, abundance of faithfulness, abundance of how we're showing mercy to other people and kindness. How are we abundant in those areas? So he wants us to have abundance in its fullness. Now, I wanted to take a few minutes and just look at this particular scripture, Hebrews 13 and verse 5. So this gives us something that the writer of Hebrews wrote, and scholars believe it to be Paul. But when we look at Hebrews 13 and verse 5 and 6, I'm going to read it in the King James first. It says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be what? Content with such things as you have. For he hath said," say he hath said, who might that be? God. "For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," verse 6, "so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." So we need to take hold of that in the times that we live. He hath said. And if you look at just, I'm going to go back and read a couple of other verses, but if you read in Numbers, you can write these down, Numbers 23, verse 19, it says, "God is not a man that he should lie." So if he hath said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you," he's not a man that he will lie. If he said it, won't he do it? James 1:17, "Every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is" what? "No variableness nor shadow of turning." He doesn't change. You know, if God showed you something in your own personal life or spoke something to you, it is going to come to pass if we yield to it. God's not going to make something. He's not going to make you do anything. He may reveal something to you. He may say, "I want you to do X, Y, Z," or he may show you something for a purpose, but it's up to you to do what? To yield to that. He's not going to make you do it. So here, God is saying, he hath said, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee," so that we can boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Now listen to the Amplified translation. It says, "Let your character or moral disposition be free from the love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions." It didn't say we shouldn't have them. It just said that be free from the love of it or the disposition to crave it. "And be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For God himself," he, God himself, "has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support." And I like this, "I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold on you. Assuredly not." So we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me?" So he said, he will not relax his grip on us. He's your father. And like any good parent who watches over their children, you don't relax your grip. You're always keeping an eye. I don't care how old, how many could honestly say, if you're a parent and your children are grown, how many of you still keep an eye? You still keep an eye out. You're still watching. They could be 30, you're still keeping an eye out. Because there's the love of a parent involved. God is our Father. And he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. He said, never. I'll never loosen my grip upon you. So no matter where we get in life, no matter what's going on, he's just saying, let not, what do you say in John 16, 33? He said, my peace is given you, my peace I've given you. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't be troubled with stuff going on. It's going to come to pass, but I'm your helper. I'm going to lead you through all of this. I'm going to walk you through. He said, so you do what, we do what we're supposed to do. We sow our time, we sow our money, we get involved in helping the church, and he will see to it that you're taken care of. If you listen and are aware, take the opportunities to do his things, and he will make sure he supports you. Period. Now, I like this. This is the Passion Translation. It said, don't be obsessed with money, but live content with what you have. Now, listen to this. This is why I like the Passion Translation. It says, for you always have God's presence. See, so when God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, he's really saying, you always have my presence with you. He's not going to just get up and leave you. So I like the way the Passion Translation says it. He said, for you always have my presence. You always have it. He said, for hasn't he promised you, I will never leave you? Never. And I will not loosen my grip on your life. So we can say with great confidence, I know the Lord is for me, and I will never be afraid of what people may do to me. So we need to get up in the morning and say, thank you, Lord, for your presence is in me. No matter what's going on, storms, things going on, the news, all this stuff, things going on, he said, you always have my presence. And think about how he led the Israelites. How did he lead them? He led them with what? A pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire by night. He always had his presence with them. Now we have him what? In us. We have his presence in us. He'll never leave us. So be more aware that his presence is in us. He lives in us. He's there to guide us and lead us in everything. Hallelujah. Listen to this. I like this. This is a translation maybe you're not familiar with. It's called the Jordan, J-O-R-D-A-N, Jordan translation. Verse 6 of Hebrews 13. That's why we can say with calm assurance, the Lord is my provider. I shall never be ruled by fear. I liked that. How shall a human do me in? He can't. So God's presence is with us, and I'm not going to be ruled by fear. Fear of what I see, fear of what I hear. You know, fear may come to our flesh, our feelings, what we see, what we hear, and it may attempt to make us afraid, but I've not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I have his presence. He's my helper. He's my helper. No matter what's going on, he's my helper. Hallelujah. So my expectation, and I wrote this down, our faith fuels our expectations. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith causes me to expect something. My expectations, when it talks about, you know, when you sit in that chair, you can expect to be supported in that chair. Why? Not because of the chair, because you got a floor. So you sit down on that chair expecting to be held up because you're sure the floor will hold the chair up. There's a substance underneath it to support it. That's what faith is. Faith is confidence. You're confident the floor is going to hold the chair up. You're confident in God's word. Faith is the substance. It's the ground. It's the support of what I don't see. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of something not seen. That's what it says. So my expectations are supported by and upheld by my confidence in God and confidence in His Word. Hallelujah. So God is, am I confidently assured that God is my helper? You may have to say it a while before it registers, because all of the stuff that goes on will try to make you feel and think that He's not there. He's not helping me. My circumstances look like this. All this stuff is going on. And how the heck are we going to get by? He said, I'll never leave you. You always have my presence. My presence is with you. I'm in you. And so that comfort, that revelation that He's in me, I'm aware that He's in me. Well, if you know He's in you and you know He's leading you, He said, I'll never leave you. I don't care how bad it looks. You know, they could shut down the society that we live in. I mean, the government can do that in a blink. They just shut it down and say, you can't do X, Y, Z. And so you need to not fear what man can do unto you. You need to be aware as we walk through and see more troubled things happen, we need to be more aware of His presence and that He's my helper. He's leading me. He's guiding me. He's showing me what to do. Because everybody's going to have to make different decisions. You know, your lives are all different. You know, your choices may be different, but we all have the same God, and He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll tell you that, as simple as that may be, I'll tell you, it's the revelation of that, the confidence of that, that gives us comfort. That when we get up in the morning, you hear people talk, what the heck is, man, we ain't going to make it. You hear people talk. Because they have what? No hope. They have no hope. They look at their hope as the government, their hope is whatever, their pension, their hope is in whatever, whatever they got, their house, their stuff, and that could be gone just like that. Your hope better not be in that. Your hope better be in Him. So that if all of that gets pulled away, you're still standing. Because that's what the marshals said. They said, well, we had to get out. We left everything. We left it all. And we're now in South Germany. So they got to rebuild. But their hope and their peace is in Him. And that's what they said. Well, we're getting all together. We're going to, you know, the NGOs are getting together and we're going to assess what are we going to do. So it's not like, oh, we lost everything. It's like their mission didn't change. The mission of what they set their hearts on, did their earthly things change their determination? No. So their hunger for God and the hunger of what they have, that passion, fuels their determination. So all of that, yeah, their earthly things changed, all of that, but not their determination. So we need to make sure that we keep everything in perspective where we are today and make sure that our hearts are turned towards Him and don't put our trust. What is Proverbs? What is, turn over there and take a look. I believe it's Proverbs chapter 3, right? What does it say? Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways, what? Acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. You know, your flesh and your mind are going to talk to you. And they're going to try to scream and talk and all kinds of stuff. But you got to constantly remind yourself of how good God is, that I'm seated in heavenly places with Him, and His presence is always with me. He's always with me, in me, leading me in life, showing me what to do, how to live, how to make choices. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And most importantly, share with other people when you're prompted to do that. Share the good news of the gospel. Because I'll guarantee you, I was reading something by this minister who actually was a former Muslim, and I've handed his book out a number of times, and he was a former Muslim, converted. He hated Christians. He was out to kill Christians, and he got saved, and he was really, his father was a general in the Pakistani army and put a hit out on him. And he had to leave, and he left and scurried out of where he lived. I think he was in Pakistan, and then he ended up in Sweden and a long route, and then he finally came here to the States. But he was sharing, he said, what an opportune time to minister to Afghani people. He said, they're some of the most lovely people. He said, and they're all coming into the States. A lot are being, you know, are being brought into the States now. I know I looked recently just how many are being brought into New York. Where in New York? How many are being brought into Pennsylvania? How many? So people from Afghan are coming in. They have to live. His point was, and Christopher Alam, he's over in Africa now, and you know, he goes over periodically 3-4 times a year, and he teaches to large gatherings. I mean, 20,000, 30,000, 40,000, and he just preaches, and signs and wonders follow. Just like T.L. Osborne and others, he ministers the word, and people just blind eyes open, and crutches fly, and hands, and I mean, just, I watch the testimonies that come forth. But he said it is a wonderful time to reach the Afghan people. And he said, don't preach the gospel to them, just show kindness and love. He said, they're very family-oriented. You know, everything's about the family, he said. And when they see that you care and love them, he said, they're open to the gospel. He said, they're more open than you realize because they've come out of a society that hates and they've come out of a society that represses and they can't do anything and they have no rights. And now all of a sudden you do what? You love them. You love them. And they're like, why are you loving me? So love begins to open the door for the gospel. And he said, many, 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 many will come just because you treat them with love. And they're open to the gospel. So this is a wonderful time. It's a troublesome time, but it's a wonderful time to reach people that have been repressed and are coming into this country and our need to see the love of God in us. And just help people. Love them. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for using us. Thank you for living in us. Thank you, Father, that we have your presence all the time. And Father, we covet your presence and your leading. And Father, we become and purpose to become more aware of you in us and you're leading us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Praise God, praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, just before we leave, we always give everybody an opportunity to know Christ just as we have accepted him. And we don't know people's hearts, but let's present the opportunity. If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, what do I mean by that? That means that you believe that he is the Christ, the Savior of the world, that he bore the sins of all mankind and the sicknesses of all mankind, and he shed his blood for our redemption. He extended mercy through this redemption. And so if we've never done that and you, or maybe you've stepped away from God and maybe you need to just recommit your life. Let's say this simple prayer. Father God, I believe that you sent your son Jesus to this earth to die for the sins of mankind, to redeem mankind, and to destroy the works of the devil. Father, I receive Jesus now. I believe that he took our sins, and when sin was paid for, he was released from hell and raised from the dead. I receive him now as my Savior. I ask you to cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. Make something new of me, and I believe that I am saved. If you said that simple prayer, simple profession of faith in Christ Jesus, believing that he's the Savior and that he was raised from the dead, paid for your sins, and redeemed you with his blood, and you confessed that and believed it, you're saved. And instantly, his presence came into you. And he said, I'll never leave you now or forsake you. Amen. Praise God. So if you did that, let us know. We'll give you some free information. Praise the Lord. Praise God.